Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, actress Eden Cher is best known for her roles as Sue Heck from the family ABC TV sitcom The Middle and as Star Butterfly from the Disney Channel animated fantasy series Star vs. the Forces of Evil. Eden has taken her one-woman show, I Was on a Sitcom, on the road. And so what is this show all about? It offers a rare, intimate glimpse inside a popular sitcom actor's real, raw life. You will walk away feeling like you've made a new friend and learn more about birthing twins than you ever did before. Do I need to know about birthing twins personally?
Yes.
I do. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And it's funny. It's vulnerable and disarmingly casual. It's like having a night out with Eden herself, telling you a story over a cocktail or a show. And to share a little bit of that journey, Eden Cher joins us in studio. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You are just delightful, by the way.
Thank you.
And welcome to Chicago. First time here. What was the thing, and I know you landed late last night, like what was the first thing that you saw that we were like, oh, that's pretty cool? Or was it in studio here?
It's in studio here today,
yeah.
For sure. Maybe in the Uber over, just looking at, seeing the river. Seeing
right,
the river, yeah.
Right.
And I know I said to you, I had to ask you, and I said I would deny it if you ever, but I'm just going to out myself.
Brutally honest, yes.
I was like, what river is this?
But then I geek out and start telling you stories about the Chicago River.
Yes.
So it's what we do. It's what
yeah.
we do. It's all good. So I was saying off air that, you know, I really think when The Middle was on the air, that might have been the last time people really sat in front of the TV in real time, maybe some DVRing as well, and watch like The Middle and Modern Family. Just so much has changed, right?
Yeah, I feel really, really lucky that it feels like that era of sort of ABC Wednesday night, you know, whatever.
Yes.
It felt like a little
yeah.
family version of, you know, like must-see TV
yeah.
that NBC in the 90s or whatever. It feels a little like that, where people are like, they say that they had like a schedule and they had...
Yes.
And I think now
TV Guide.
Yeah.
I know it sounds funny now, but it's true.
It was the last, vestige of, like of when people would.
It's true.
And I think having kids now, and obviously they're really little, but like being able to just watch anything with them, I think I have like a new appreciation of when people are very much, people
it's
are really,
true.
Yeah, people are like, it's the only thing I watch is my family. And I'm always like, that's great. But now I'm like, oh, that is special. That is something you can enjoy together.
But you are, you know, obviously very recognizable to me. So, you know, when I saw you and greeted you downstairs, but, you know, even last night, you know, you got in at midnight and there's fans waiting for you at the gate. You say it doesn't happen all the time, but I'm sure this isn't the first time.
Honestly, most of the time it's people stopping me for a bit, but stopping me and being like, did we go to college together?
Oh. Recognizing you.
I get that
somewhere.
A lot, yeah.
Okay.
And I do get stopped occasionally, but never not like this.
Yeah.
This was different.
Yeah.
I don't get stopped. Like, again, like, I don't know if you want to relate or if
yeah. At the gate. You were at the gate getting off the plane and people were waiting for you with things to sign. Like, how do they know your flight schedule?
I
Which
don't know.
Is freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right.
But it is. It was, and that was the crazy thing. I told my husband and he was like, were these, did they have cameras? Like, were they? Because I'm not chased by paparazzi. And it was a family.
Yeah.
It was not like professional people.
Super
it was,
fans.
Yeah, I guess
Super
so.
Super fans. This all kind of started for you. You were a kid where you loved being in school plays. You know, you did some local theater. I mean, did you have that feeling all the way back then, grammar school, high school, that this is what you wanted to do for a living?
I have no other marketable skills.
Okay.
This was it. From age 5, I was like, this is the only thing I'm capable of doing. This is the only
That's
thing
awesome.
I want to do.
Yeah.
I begged my mom. I begged
yeah.
her for years. She was like, no, I'm not going to get you an agent at 5 because I'm a good mother. But,
yeah.
She let me do, you know, theater and stuff. And then, but when I was, by the time it didn't go away, by the time I was like 10 and it was not even showing like an ounce of subsiding, she was like, I'm going to be supportive. Like, I have to, you know, and so she let me do it.
But there was a time in television, I mean, you know, we're talking about the 70s, maybe even the 80s, that, you know, kids on TV, and even the 60s, it was rough times, and people weren't, you know, managed properly and taken advantage of. So no parent, I mean, any parent that's a good parent wants to, like, hold off on some of those things and protect their kids, right?
For sure. No, yeah. For sure. Especially with all this stuff now coming out, yeah, about, I've been talking to my mom a ton about just the whole journey, like how she was like, did you ever feel, because I started working pretty young, actually, yeah, not luckily. I look at it now, like, luckily, I actually didn't have huge success until I was at least, until it's still pretty young. I was like 17 when I, you know, booked the middle, and that was like the real, real big, yeah, thing. And that's, again, that's really young. That's still, now I'm like, as a 32-year-old, I'm like, that's a child. But at least I didn't get super, you know, super fame when I was like 10 or 11.
A little more maturity.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
But my, but my mom was like, did you ever? And I was like, no. And because I think she watched me like a hawk.
Yeah.
She watched me, and she didn't, she, like, some stage moms,
good for you.
I know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like watching and then being like, well, do this better, do this. It was like, she'd watch and like the slightest sign of discomfort, like, you want to go? You want to leave? This can be over. This can be over immediately.
That's great. That's, yeah, great. That's great. But like the first time that you were really out there, it was something to do with the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. It was Jay walking. Now, someone showed up at your school, because you grew up in L.A. So was it a producer, or was it Jay himself, or who was it?
I have to ask my mom. I was little. I was like 8.
Yeah.
I think a producer of this segment had a kid at the school.
Okay.
I think that's what it was.
Good connection, yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, okay, we got to do this segment. Where are we going to go? Let's just go to my kid's school. I think that's how it happened. So they did a segment at the school. Yes, Jay showed up. I was on it.
Wow.
And then did it a couple more times. And then she reached out to my mom, being, yeah, like, we want to do something just with her.
Yeah. Here's Eden Shear, everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you did, like, Showtime's Weeds. You were on the OC on Fox. You did Party Down, yeah, on Starz, which I remember. That is a funny show. Like, such a small little cult offering, but that was a great, great show. And you did other roles. You did commercials, but it was like 2009, the middle came around. So how did that happen? That's a big leap.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely, it's so funny. I was like consistently working, but I'm not sure if my other jobs actually, like, I think if even if I had had no job, I mean, maybe I couldn't have gotten in the room, but even if I had no job, I don't think any of those like helped me get the middle. Like, I think that was completely separate.
You sold it there.
Yeah.
At the audition. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to talk to the casting people to see if they actually did know me from before. Maybe they did, because I did another ABC, a very short-lived ABC sitcom. But no, that was insane. I auditioned for the original pilot, did not get a callback, didn't get anything.
Okay.
Like, just like, was like, bye.
Who was the star of that? I read something about that. Who was supposed to be the, instead of Patricia Heaton?
Ricky Lake.
It was Ricky Lake.
Yeah.
That's right. That's, yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm sure she's lovely, and I know she's great, but, yeah, the pilot itself just did not. I saw it recently. They wouldn't let us watch
the pilot. Oh,
yeah, the original pilot that did not get picked up. So I didn't. So then, like, a year, I didn't get the role. And then a year later, I auditioned again, and I was like, "Didn't I audition?
Did I do this?
Yeah. What is this project?
Yeah."
And then I had to audition 7-8 times. I was sure that they didn't like me. I don't know why I kept going in. They kept saying it was a callback. They kept going in for a callback. There were more people there. I was like, "This is not."
I hear the story all the time, though. Like,
really?
Third call, fourth call, you know, they don't, why are they keep, yeah, exactly, same exact story. You just got to stick with it, right?
Just got to stick with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I literally, when they were like, you booked the role, I was like, are you sure, though?
Sure? Do you have my, are you sure it's me?
Yeah. I don't know if you, because you didn't remember
that's
from before.
Funny. Yeah. That's funny. What do you think about Patricia Heaton, Neil Flynn, Chicago guy, by the way, who's been here before. He's been on air with me.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Charlie McDermott, who I think is directing or helping out with this play, which we'll talk about. Atticus Schaefer, you know, great ensemble. And you think about, you know, Patricia Heaton, I mean, Emmy Award winner, Everybody Loves Raymond. Did you feel, even at 17, you know, when you've been doing this a little bit, that you learned something from somebody so legendary on television?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The question, did I learn something? Or, yeah, like, did I feel like I was,
yeah,
learning? 100%.
Yeah.
There was no part of me that wasn't, like, in school.
Yeah,
it was like,
right,
it was truly
you say
class.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You never stop learning, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But really, really, I think it's like, being funny is... I genuinely do believe that it is genetic. Like, there is a, you either have it or you don't.
That's very true.
But it is a skill that you can, and if you have it, then you can hone it. You're not like just born, you know.
Funny thing you said that, because I was going to say a lot of people hone their skills at Second City, and a lot of people go there to try to gain those skills that aren't natural to them. And right. it's the ones that succeed are the ones that always had that sense of humor or had that sense of humor in their life growing up.
100%. I think you cannot teach someone to be funny, period. I've seen it happen. I've seen it like just even on set, because I've worked with so many now. Like for 9 years, there were a lot of guest stars, and 90% of them had the gene. Mm-hmm. Like they had the funny gene. Mm-hmm. But some, you just can't teach. It's like teaching someone to have an ear. It's like music. You can have a knack, and then you train yourself to have like perfect pitch.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that starting point, like you can. So that's how I felt going to it with Patty and Neil, where I was like, I have the inkling there. And then I really learned how to be funny.
But you guys have experience and you were 17. So that's a little bit different. And you played a kid for a long time starting at 17. So I think there's some benefits to that there because of a maturity level, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I think that was also like when I did get the role, I think the other girls I was up against, no, I know for a fact because I saw them. Like when it came down to just those three, they were both actually 12. And I think there was an element of you can just bring a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not a humanity, like not to say 12-year-old. You could just bring something different to it when you are a 17-year-old playing a 12-year-old.
That was my daughter's, Emma, her go-to show was The Middle. And when she heard at some point at the end that there might be a Sue Heck spinoff, she was thrilled. But you know how it goes. Sometimes it goes this way, sometimes it goes this way. There's always a great opportunity to revisit a character. And with Hollywood's trend of rebooting, I hope that still happens.
I do. I mean, I could talk for 8 hours about.
Really?
Yeah, I could. But that's been off and the way everything went down and filming it. I'm still
so you filmed it. You filmed a pilot.
We filmed it. We have a full pilot out there.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, it's out there.
Oh, okay.
It's there. It was filmed. They basically told us, like, this is a formality that it's not going straight to a series. And then we were just kept on hold for a long time. And then they were just like, we're not picking it up. And that's totally fine. That's complete. Like pilots, you have a shot and whatever. They only pick up a certain amount.
Yeah.
But it was weird for them being like, everyone was like, it's of course going to go.
So it tells you, this is a great thing. It's going to happen. That's what, there's great, fun, amazing things about Hollywood. And then there's just things that suck.
Yeah.
And that's one of those.
Yeah, it really
for
is.
For sure. We are talking to Eden Scherer, and her show is touring across America. It was called I Was On a Sitcom, and there's more with her next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer, 720 WGN. We're talking to Eden Scherer. You know her as Sue Heck from ABC's The Middle. Her one-woman show is I Was On a Sitcom. So you say finding out who you are when your TV show ends and your real life begins, because, again, you played a character for 9 years. What exactly does it mean to be yourself? And that's what I Was On a Sitcom, which you're touring all over the country, is all about.
Yeah. Yes. It is what it is ultimately what it is about. I will say that's sort of the entry point. It's really about. Well, no, that is. It's finding out who I am. It's about my life. But it's really about a specific part. The story is like this very specific moment in my life. Like a large part of it is about about my pregnancy and the birth of my children.
Yes.
Obviously, I mean, again, you'll see it.
Yes.
I see how like, oh wow, this does all come full circle.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to give it all away. But
I don't want to. It's so sorry. It's just really funny hearing that log line because that is a log line that I wrote before.
Beginning.
Yeah, I was really even done writing it.
Okay.
I was like, this is the basic. I had for Fringe. I did the show at Edinburgh Fringe, and you have to submit and like finalize your title and log line before things are set in stone. And so that is absolutely, I stick to it. That is the like, that's a good description of the log line of the show. But like, I just wrote that so long
early
ago.
On.
Or so early. I don't
had
even
a big
know
smile
if
when I said it. It's so funny. Well, I said I remember catching you on social media, really, like all of a sudden you just popped in and you were at a theater, and I don't remember the theater. What was the theater? Where was it, I should say?
I think it was in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're talking about the video where I'm like nailing up flyers and stuff,
yes,
that was in Scotland.
Yes. I thought to myself, this was the big step, and renting the theater, doing all that, bold, confident, driven. But you did have a determination to do this.
Yeah, I did.
And I'm thrilled where it's gone, you know?
I applied to this Fringe Festival with no show. I was bamboozled by my husband's writing partner, who I owe everything to. She's amazing. But she was like, just apply. And I was like, I don't have a, I have an idea. I had an idea. We had talked about it. I was
basic,
like, I have
the, yeah,
this idea for a show. And she was like, just apply. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll submit or whatever. I'm not going to get in. I don't have a script. At that point, I didn't even have a log line.
Yeah.
I just had a half-baked idea of kind of the message that I had some stuff I wanted to say. And they were like, yeah, we want your show. And I had to, in March, from March to August, I knew the first day of Fringe was August 2nd. I had 4 months to write and put on a one-woman show.
I was going to say, that sounds like a lot of time. It's not a lot of time.
Really not a lot. Really. No. I worked tirelessly with Charlie and Sarah, with Charlie who played Axel and his wife. They're a really incredible directing team.
Well, we are talking to actress Eden Scherer, and we'll continue our conversation after the news next. WGN. All right, we are talking to actress Eden Scherer. You know her best from TV sitcom The Middle. She's touring the country in a one-woman show called I Was On a Sitcom. All right, you know, you have talked about the fact that you are emotionally guarded and you don't talk about life experiences until you work through them. And, you know, depression, postpartum depression, which is a lot, and people don't understand really what that is. But it's got to be cathartic and an extension of therapy, almost talking on stage. And every time, it must be a session for you, right?
It is.
Yes.
It is. That's why I think I have to, after I'm done with this tour, I want to use this show as an excuse to go to every location that I've ever wanted to go to in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to be like, oh, we want to take a trip to Europe? Well, great. We're going to do a show there. I'm going to do a show there. Hopefully, it'll pay for itself. Just going to do that. And then,
love that,
once it's over, I don't know if I'm ever going to do the show again.
Book. I know, I said, off air, you have to do a book. You have to, yeah.
Book, film a special, hopefully release a special.
Yeah.
But it's cathartic to a point, and
there'll be an end game. Yeah.
There absolutely is. I can't do the show forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know, and you still got little ones at home and married, of course. And so, you know, but I looked at your schedule, how you schedule things. You really do it so you're a couple days away. Because if you're a full-time working mom, you'd be away, you know, during the week. So you've strategically done that as well. But Charlie McDermott, your on-screen brother from The Middle, tell me about his involvement in all this.
Oh, my God. This show, he and his wife together were, this show would not be anything without them.
Wow.
I had so much written. They will say, I think we both probably are like, you know, no, it was you. No, it was you. Whatever. I just think, and they know what they did. Mm-hmm. They know what they did.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a ton of content. And they will say this from the start. They were like, all the content was there. You had everything. But they really, I went in and I ran it was like, you know, 90 minutes, more than that.
Yeah.
Just with the like bare bones of it.
Yeah.
And they were like, here's what works, here's what doesn't, here's how you need, like, they restructured it and, like, just gave me so much focus, and they just changed the whole show.
But you are the content, and sometimes you need someone to hone some of those things in and be a partner on those things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And there was nobody, that's why I went to Charlie, because I knew he directed, like, an episode of The Middle, but also, we were so close that, like, I just knew. I also was in a movie that he directed when we were so young.
Wow.
I was, like, 19, wow, and he was 20. And I was just like, there's no one who is more acutely familiar with the material, who has a like better, there's no, I That's wouldn't have to explain to anything.
That's cool.
And he just was there with me during
that bonding, kindred bonding. Wow.
It is. And so, yeah, he and his wife just got it immediately and really made it what it was.
Well, I also noticed too, you know, you're social, you do promote the show, but I think you do things that have nothing to do with the show. You know, you talk about what is so relatable to so many people. So life's challenges, relationships, marriage, children. I brutally honest. I've noticed when I'm on your feed, I'm like, wow, yeah, she's letting it all out there, which I think people do appreciate.
I hope so. I've found that the best promotion for the show has been way more than, obviously, you know, I post like, hey, I'm going to be at this date, or hey, like, buy tickets, you know, whatever, just because I, you know,
you have to do that. Absolutely.
But the biggest it's sort of like, you know, showing, not telling, where I'm like, the best promotion has just been giving little snippets. Obviously, the things I post like aren't actually part of the show, but it's sort of a taste of like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm basically going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Like, here's my life. Here's what it's like with kids. Here's who I am. You want to see that on stage for an hour? Buy tickets.
Got it. Well, it comes full circle. And the real question for me is, are you having fun?
Yes. I mean, yes. When I'm doing the show, absolutely. Connect, like, there's really nothing like, there's just, it's so cliche, but there's just nothing like live theater.
Yeah.
There's nothing, even, especially when I was in Scotland, I would bomb sometimes. It would just bomb. A line would not land, or like a joke wouldn't land, or the audience just wasn't, they were too drunk. they're not responding.
Well, that's fair.
And even bombing was like a thrill. It's just because you're just, you don't get that like face-to-face, immediate feedback connection with people when you're on screen. And then I also meet people after and feel like they always, they're like, oh, your story. Like because people don't talk about childbirth. People don't talk about delivery. Yeah. People do not talk about postpartum depression. People do not talk about like the month after labor. Nobody, did you know that you had to be in a diaper? The woman, whoever's giving birth has to be in a diaper for like a month. We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
You'll know after my show.
Well, I was going to say, is there one thing that somebody has said to you, like after the show, that it taught you something about yourself? There's got to be a lot, right?
There's so many things. Yeah. I think it's not one specific thing, but it is the number, like the sheer number of people who my experience to me feels so unique. Well, no, to me, it's like, this is so different. This is so specific. Like, I don't know if people are going to relate to this very specific feeling or this specific experience. And it's astounding. It's stunning how many people are like, I had the exact same experience.
That's awesome.
And I just never would have, like mine feels so, and it just is sort of humbling to know like, oh, in the best way possible, our stories, our experiences are not special.
Yeah.
Like they're not in a good way.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
You know, like it makes it feel a little less lonely.
Yeah. You don't feel alone is what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Well, you can catch it all. Eden Scher, for more on her show, visit EdenScherLive.com, and that's Sher, and really follow her on all social platforms. She's a lot of fun. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have fun in Chicago.
Thank you. I will.